normal or close to normal spring temperatures. We're looking forward to summer, but mostly we have Jesus. And at the end of the bulletin, you see a little blurb about that, which I thought we were talking about the sign out front might fit. Fear is what if, faith is even if. No matter what the day is, we have Jesus. So the most important announcement this morning is we're going to be changing him around. Dr. Jeffrey will announce it. The reason I call him doctor is that he's always doctoring the music to make it work. And he's working with our hymn machine to make that work. And we're just doing the best we can, and we will sing anyway, right? Covenant Kids Congo offering this morning. So the little coconut that Barb will be passing around is to give to the Covenant Kids Congo effort. After the service this morning and after fellowship time, we're going to be taking a look at the Crusades. Andrew has agreed to help us with that discussion next Sunday. Services are canceled for Memorial Day. The following Sunday, which is June 1st. What's that? Yeah, I'll be gone. Yep. Yeah, I was just kind of thinking where it may go. So I'll be gone on June 1st, and our one of our favorites, Dan, Pastor Dan, will be here ministering the word, and Jeffrey will be once again doctoring the music. And then an announcement on the right-hand side toward the bottom, because we won't have service next week, I wanted to put that in there to give you the opportunity, but it is in Hibbing. This is a new thing that the Iron Range Pastors Group, which is a group of about 24 pastors from Net Lake to Hoyt Lakes to Cotton to Hibbing, bunch of us, an effort that they have put together starting this summer to get different churches together, regardless of the name of the church, just believers, to do two things, to pray and worship. And they've got music teams. Since we don't have a music team, I couldn't offer one. But they have music teams that will help us in those times, and then it will be a time of prayer with a focus on God doing something in this area of the world, and also a focus on praying for missions in the rest of the world. We are going to have one of those events in our area, but if you wanted to travel over to Hibbing, on May 30th at 6:30 p.m. at North Star Church in Hibbing, feel free to do that. I'm sure you will be blessed. You'll be able to rub shoulders with other believers, probably some that you know. This is the same group that does the All Church Sunday on Labor Day in the fall that many of us attended last year. And we're working, I would say, diligently and progressively to bring believers together on the Iron Range and across differently, get past the labels, and just celebrate Jesus together. I think that takes care of the announcements. If you would turn with me to page number 797, and we can read that responsively. This is from Psalm 31. And if you would stand with me. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily.
Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress.
For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that is hidden for me.
For you are my refuge.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. My times are in your hand.
Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine upon your servant.
Save me in your steadfast love.
Turn to 503. We're going to do this before we do 16. 503 is be still and know I am God.
Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge and
page 16, hymn number 16, and we're going to do a split track of this song, because it's not in the hymn machine.
Let's pray. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord Jesus, we lift up your name. with hearts full of love, thankfulness, gratefulness, and praise. Be exalted, O Lord, our God. We speak to you, Hosanna, in the highest. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our first scripture this morning is a psalm, Psalm 148, found on page 480 of your pew Bible. And I'm reading from the NIV. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers in the earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. And then from the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. When He was gone, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will glorify the Son in Himself, and will glorify Him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for Me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another.
Time to present our morning offerings to the Lord. I ask the usher to come forward, please. And let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we are just so thankful for all of Your goodness that You pour out upon us day to day. Every breath we take, every thought about You that we think, we honor You for Your goodness. We give our gifts to You with thankful hearts, with joy, and ask that You'd use them to further Your kingdom and to glorify Your name. We ask this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Turn on the back of the bulletin. We're going to sing this a cappella.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way.
That was written by Don Mullen. And another person, Don Mullen from Duluth. Let us stand and sing our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. For morning prayer this morning, we often use this time for petition, asking God to bless, asking God to heal, asking God to reach out. This morning, we're just going to take this time in prayers of worship. So if you'd pray with me. Holy, Most High, Father God, our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son whom you love and your Son in whom you are well pleased. We come before you this morning not to ask but to honor you with your Son, with your Spirit, our God three in one, our God one in three. We come to honor you, for you are the only God, holy, separate, unique, eternal, all-powerful God. The God who has created all, the God who sustains all of His creation. We honor you for your creation. We honor you for creating us. We honor you for seeking to save us. We honor you for the plan of redemption costing the life of Jesus. We honor you for the plan of redemption that caused him to be raised from the dead, seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father forever and ever and ever. We honor you, God. We honor your name, Holy God, Jehovah, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. We honor your holy name, Jesus. You will be glorified forever. We will glorify you forever. We honor you because you are righteousness. And from you comes righteousness. We honor you because you are justice. We honor you because you are the faithful God, trustworthy. We honor you because you are the compassionate, loving God who seeks us out of your love and compassion. Your grace and your mercy abound. We are testament to your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And so, Holy God, we honor you. We glorify you. You are good. You are always good. You are kind and compassionate even to evil and unbelieving men. You are long-suffering and always full of love during that time. Patient. You are the God that we love. You are the God that we have chosen. You are the God that we serve. And so this morning we honor you. Receive the prayers, the praise, the glory, the worship, the admiration, the exaltation of all of your people all over the world. Let this worship and honor and praise and glory arise to your throne and exalt you, that you might be pleased with our sacrifice in honoring you. Our hearts are yours. Our lives are yours. You be glorified forever. And it's only possible to honor you because of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. With joy we close our time of worship. In his name, Jesus. Amen.
Turn to number 17. Some of you will be reminded of this song from 699. It has the same tune. That one's a Brian Jeffrey Leach's words. This is George Herbert's words. He lived from 1593 to 1613. Let all the world.
was awesome. Great doctrine. This morning we're going to be in the first chapter of Acts, following the disciples as they continue their journey with Jesus. And I'm hoping that you as well have felt some of that journey as a follower of Jesus during this time that we have traveled with them, perhaps as a disciple of Jesus. So a little introduction, like I always do, and a little background. Do you know what's going on today? Do you have everything under control? Do you have all the answers for what's happening? Well, as we know, we don't. The disciples were in the same boat right up through the first chapter of Acts. From the very first day the disciples followed Jesus, it's been, what? What's he doing now? How does he do that? What's going on? And Jesus would say something. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And some of the disciples just threw up their hands and walked away. I don't understand it. There are disciples who stuck with him and they just shrugged as Peter did and said, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is that you have the words of eternal life. 10 days before the resurrection, I come back to that again. The anointing by Mary Magdalene. And some of the participants there go, of all the nerve, she is a sinner. But you are wrong. And Jesus had to explain to them, she's anointing me for burial. By the way, just a little note here. If you study the life of Mary Magdalene, she's probably the one disciple that got it. The entrance into Jerusalem. This is awesome, Jesus. You're finally going to deliver Israel. But you are wrong. The Last Supper, just another Passover. But you are wrong. The betrayal. Not me, Lord. It's not one of us. But you are wrong. The arrest. This can't be happening. But you are wrong. The abandonment. I will never forsake you. But you are wrong. The trial. What's he going to do? The torture. What's he going to do? 3.5 years of miracles. Certainly, Jesus is going to do something. But you are wrong. He answered not a word. The sentence, death. This is out of control. He can't die. But you are wrong. It's completely under control. The crucifixion. Painful. Do something. Someone says, taunts him and says, come down from the cross. The disciples standing by maybe saying, that would be awesome. That would be great. But you are wrong. And then the Sabbath, the day after the crucifixion. Now what? Sadness. disillusioned, confused, no answers. But you are wrong. The resurrection. Now, he is risen. Good, we're back on track. Now, we're going to make Israel a kingdom again. But you are wrong. Well, let's give the disciples a little benefit of the doubt. Those 10 days, all of these events and more, by the way, things happening so fast that it just makes your head spin. And I wanted to ask this question this morning. Do you ever feel like you're in a blender? Of course we do. Things may be out of control, but whether they're out of control or not, it feels like they're out of control. I want to go back to a Psalm 46, a verse that caught the attention of a group of people in the United States back 150, 170, 180 years ago, launched music. Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A metaphor, the river of God. What the disciples were caught in was the river of God. That river kept flowing, and as long as the disciples stayed in the river, they flowed along with the river, whether they understood it or not. Back in the days of slavery in the United States, many of the African Americans who were slaves took on that theme because they too were caught in a river that was out of their control. And what they felt during that time, what they sang during that time, what they talk during that time is, this river is taking us to God. This river is taking us to heaven. A powerful force if you stay in the river. Of course, you can always sit on the bank. You can always sit on the shore. Do a little fishing. Take in a little bit of the sun. But if you stay in the river, you are like these disciples. You feel like you don't have answers. And this morning, it wasn't Dr. Jeremiah, by the way, but one of the television preachers talked about this choice. Stay in the river where everything feels out of control, but stay in the river because I'm following Jesus. Or sit on the bank where it's comfortable and everything is in control and you feel like you have control of life. And so the introduction into Acts chapter 1 is a group of disciples who have chosen to stay in the river. They are confused. They don't have answers. It seems like every time we turn around, they're wrong. But they stick with Jesus anyway. somehow knowing that He is right. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Well, the river of God has moved on for 2,000 years, and the choice still remains. We get to Acts chapter 1, and we get another twist for the disciples. And I'll start reading in verse 3. After His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. What we have in our records is that Jesus appeared maybe 4 or 5 times to the disciples. It could have been more, but in the records that we have, just a few times, like once a week on average. The disciples are continuing on gathering together. They don't even know when Jesus is going to show up. And He shows up, and then it's like He disappears again during that period of 40 days. And then in verse 4, a little amusing to me. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave this command. What? On one occasion? Luke, it sounds like you're going, this doesn't mean anything. It just happened on one occasion. Interesting. On this occasion, this is the only record of this occasion. Thank you, Luke, for putting it in your letter. He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In a few weeks, we are going to be celebrating Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is promising and talking about here. And yes, He had told the disciples about this before, several times. Then, verse 6, then they gathered around Him and asked Him, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You are wrong. I was just talking to you about waiting in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes. And the disciples are off on a tangent again. And so He brings them back. Verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But, let's get back on track, guys. But, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Reminds you of the Great Commission, doesn't it? Some of the same places are mentioned. Going to start in Jerusalem, spread out to Judea, go into Israel, which is Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. But it depends on something. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Well, I'm going to try not to get ahead of myself on this because we're going to talk about this on Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But let me say this. This is the most important promise to the New Testament church in all the Bible. You say, well, Jesus' sacrifice, his redemption, is the most important promise. True, except Jesus has already accomplished that. Going forward from the blessed sacrifice of Jesus for us, going forward, Jesus is saying, this that I'm talking about now is the church age. This is the power. And I'm sure you've heard plenty of sermons to let you know that the Greek word for power is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, power, powerful. And if you recall from the description of the day of Pentecost that you've studied before, it was powerful. But not just that day. This power, Jesus is saying, is going to go on with you as witnesses to the whole earth. It isn't a one-time event. And then, so we've got these disciples, and you wonder, did these guys ever going to get back on track? Are these guys ever going to figure it out? Are these guys ever going to understand? Or are they just going to keep misreading, misunderstanding, getting off track? Well, before we can answer that question, in verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Gone again. Now what? Well, we know what. Verse 10. They stood there looking intently up into the sky as he was going. I guess I would have done the same thing. That is a pretty amazing event to witness, right? To see Jesus ascending into heaven. From the context here, it seems, however, that not only did they watch them, but they just stood there spellbound, because when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? A rhetorical question, maybe, but not a rhetorical question from them. A rhetorical question would be, it's amazing. Why are you standing here? Well, it's amazing. This question from these messengers is, why are you standing here? What are you going to do? Didn't he give you some instructions? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The package deal. The ascension. The promise of the Spirit. And the rapture, in just a sentence. He ascends. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here? He will come back again. Do you think the disciples are ever going to get it? Well, let's go on to verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, A Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. I guessed maybe they got it. Wait, go back to Jerusalem. By golly, it says in verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem. Okay, guys, finally, we're getting there. And as an aside, let's read the rest of that passage. 13, the second half of verse 13. Those present, this is interesting, and I find it to be important. Those present were, and we list the 11 disciples, Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they got it. Go back to Jerusalem, and they did. Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. What do you do when you don't know what's going on? Go back to the Lord constantly in prayer. Again, just as an aside, and the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And from our study recently, we know that there were at least six women. But this is the first time we have a record of the women meeting with the disciples together. First time we have a record of Mary, the mother of Jesus, meeting with the disciples together in a prayer meeting, waiting. The first time we have a record of Jesus' brothers meeting with the disciples together in a prayer meeting. And then we have the next event. Interesting and a little bit confusing. Verse 15. Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. We can guess that that is about the group that was meeting together on the day of Pentecost. About 120. And he said to them, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, do you feel the shift? The church is being born. Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. And then a few verses explaining what happened. Down in verse 20, for said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Peter, you just contradicted yourself. You read from the Old Testament, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. Okay? You got that from the Holy Spirit? That's the Word of God? Done, right? But then he gets another verse. May another take his place of leadership. So which is it? Peter, what is going on? Those verses, the first one is taken from Psalm 69, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the context is evil people, the condemnation and the judgment to come upon the evil people. And at verse 25, the word of God says about these people, may their place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in their tents. Well, apparently Peter is referring to Judas being evil, and therefore his place is to be deserted. The next verse he pulls out of the Psalms, Psalm 109, verse 8. By the way, another aside, don't you think it's kind of cool that this fisherman, Peter, probably couldn't read, most likely couldn't read, when Jesus found him, is now studying the Scriptures? Is now studying the Word of God and can remember it and quote it? Psalm 109, verse 8. Again, a passage talking about men who have forsaken God and all of the judgment that is going to come upon them. And then in verse 8, may his days be few, may another take his place of leadership. Now, do you believe that the Word of God is breathed by God? Of course you do. So trying to make sense of this in Acts chapter 1, it isn't a contradiction. It is two statements of fact. Judas is gone. A replacement is needed. Now I know there has been a lot of theological discussion about this. A little bit of it motivated by Paul, who says that he was the disciple chosen out of sequence or out of time, the 12th disciple. I hope you're like me and you're willing for God to figure that out and to make those assignments. And so Peter goes on and leads these guys into a very interesting method of choosing the 12th disciple. Casting of lots. And we don't know exactly what they used. We know different methods that what they used during that time, but we don't know which method they used here. And the lot fell to Matthias. So is he the 12th disciple? I don't care. Because if he isn't the 12th, he was the 13th or the 14th. I mean, this guy was right at the top of the heap, right? In fact, both of them were, that the lot was cast for. And maybe Paul is the 12th. Number doesn't make any difference to me. What makes a difference to me is that the disciples went back to Jerusalem, went back to prayer. It makes a difference to me that the women joined them, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, joined them, that Jesus' own brothers now are converted, are believers. Some of you who have families have prayed for that for your families for a long time. What a celebration for Jesus. His brothers are saved. It makes a difference to me. It will make a difference in a couple of weeks when on the day of Pentecost, the believers were gathered together once again. Something has changed. Not perfectly. I want you to remember, and in, I know, it's going to be a couple of weeks from now before we hit the day of Pentecost. But I want you to remember these disciples and how wrong they constantly were over and over and over again. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? If the power of the Holy Spirit changed them, and it did, it can change us. It can change the Iron Range, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would ask that you not be distracted by the theologies that are out there. I would ask that you instead would focus on the power of the Holy Spirit who is with us and in us. We're going to see a change in the disciples in a couple of weeks. A change from always being distracted, often being wrong, often being confused, often being frustrated, often in the midst of problems and situations, running back to Jesus, Lord, we couldn't cast the demon out, can you help? A change that's going to come because of the third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. Not the event, not the mechanism, the Holy Spirit Himself. Put that in your prayer time, put that in your thoughts, in preparation for when we talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Turn in your hymnals to 662. Take the name of Jesus with you. King of kings in heaven will crown him.
journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy.